Good morning. Is it not a beautiful morning out there this morning? If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements I'm going to bring attention to. One is today the choir is going to be putting on lessons and carols during the morning worship service. And also, the only December birthday left is Clyde Cable, and his is coming up on the 23rd. So wish him a early happy birthday when you get a chance today. And also, today's the third day, Sunday of Advent, and today Pastor Walt and Annie will be lighting the third candle, which is the joy candle. And any other announcements?
Yesterday, Lily Moore and I had the privilege of serving a meal at the VRQ. It was really a nice day yesterday, warm, rainy in the evening. So we didn't have as many people, but it was 70, and they were all very appreciative of the meal, the meatloaf, which we have been serving, I don't know.
How many?
Forever, yeah. So our meal, and in fact, a couple of them even said that they looked forward to the Malvern Hills weekend because they loved the meatloaf. So we're giving them good cheer. So they all send their love and their best, and also several of them said to pass on Merry Christmas to all of us.
Any other announcements? Okay, if not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
"And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Let's continue our time of worship together by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. We'll sing it twice, and it is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just raising your name up and praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us. Be with those who couldn't be here for whatever reason, and be with those that are shut in, Lord. There's so many in our church that are unable to get out and about anymore, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit be with them, guide them, direct them, and let them know that they're still an integral part of our church, Lord. We ask now that you bless each and every person here. Help us to gain something and draw closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, this is the third Sunday of Advent, and the Advent wreath signaled the arrival of Advent. The usual circle of four candles represents our hope in the light of the world, whom the power of darkness cannot overcome. The first candle is the candle of hope, and it symbolizes the hope of the prophets of Israel for the Messiah and the Christian hope for the coming again of Christ in final victory. The second candle is the stable candle. It symbolizes the humility of Christ in leaving the glory of heaven to be born in a lowly stable. The third candle is the joy candle, and it symbolizes the great light and joy that surrounded the shepherds at the announcement of Jesus' birth. And Annie and I will be lighting the candle this morning.
Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of Jesus to the whole world. As the shepherds found Jesus in a manger, may we find Jesus in the love and joy that we share together. Help us, O God, to love one another and to know the joy that only comes from knowing you. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen.
So as we start our time of lessons and carols this morning, Bob, would you sit over there, okay, because the readers are going to be sitting there, okay. Sorry. So please turn in your hymnal to number 247. And let's sing this together, number 247, verses 1, 2, and 4, Once in Royal David City. Please stand.
Once in Royal David City, stood on the wall. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked.
Tenders.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
Child of God.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that had been seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And
together?
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So please turn in your hymnal now to number, 238. And we'll end our lessons and carols by singing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please stand.
Thank you.
And as we come to our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offering here to your house and to your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each give and each giver, and help us as a church, Lord, to use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So please turn in your hymnal now to number 223. 223, the first Noel. Please stand, let's stand and we'll sing this together.
Thank you.
I know what some of you may be thinking. You mean he's going to preach a message after all this? I promise I'll do my best to get you out of here by one. So, you know, we are very grateful for our choir, for our music director, John Wood, for Betty on the organ, for Debbie on the piano, and for the choir members. They put so much time and energy into coming here and presenting this, and we just want to say thank you to all of you. And there's also a time after the service when we're going to be meeting down in the fellowship hall for a reception for the choir. Everybody is invited. I know that Nancy Watkins has put in a tremendous amount of work, and we're very grateful to her. And so please take advantage of it and come and join us. This will be immediately following our morning worship service. So everybody is invited. Please come and just spend some time in fellowship and food. Please turn with me to our scripture reading. It's found in Luke chapter 1, and we're reading verses 26 to 35. Luke 1, 26 to 35. And hear now the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, we turn on the radio right now and we start to hear the Christmas carols on the radio station, started probably a week before Thanksgiving, but I know it's going on, and some beautiful music. And one of the songs that they sing is, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And you know, that's really true. There's something about Christmas that separates us from any other holidays and anything else. And you know, we have to ask ourselves, well, what would Christmas be without music? Even this morning, as we shared carols and we shared Christmas music, it was just a joy. Wonderful, wonderful music. And I know that there have been some people that complain, atheists in particular, and they say, "How come Christians get all the good music?" Well, the truth of it is, it's because we have the reason for the music. We have a reason to sing and to praise God. Now, you know, of all the religions in the world, I mean, have you ever heard a really great Buddhist song or a Muslim song? No, you don't hear those. They don't sing them because it's not inspired by joy and by a love for the Heavenly Father. And I think this makes the world irritated. They don't share that joy because they don't have that sense of relationship with God and with the Heavenly Father. And it seems like every year about this time, they start waging a war against Christians. "Well, how come you're so happy and we're not?" Fox News recently posted something, and I'm going to read it to you. They posted a story that involves a young woman by the name of Kim Hunt, and she's in St. Anthony, Minnesota. She's a nurse there, and she decorated her house for Christmas, like many of us do. And she received a letter, anonymous, of course, and this is what the letter said. It said, "I couldn't help but notice your Christmas light display. I saw the display. It wasn't much. It was just a string of lights along the top and decorated a bush out in front. They had a picture of it. During these unprecedented times, we have all experienced challenges which casual words just don't describe what we're feeling. The ideas of twinkling, colorful lights are a reminder of divisions that continue to run through our society, a reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who can't afford to put up lights of their own. The letter shared by Crime Watch Minneapolis reads, "And we do the work of educating ourselves about the harmful impact an outward-facing display like yours can have." And this woman, this nurse, had the common sense to just simply say, "I would like everybody to read this here in America." You know, and the question always comes up year after year, well, what is it that you want? What are you trying to do? You know, we'd like the freedom to be able to celebrate the birth of our Lord. It's like having a birthday party with no balloons. The ultimate objective, of course, is to remove every Christian emphasis from our society. And they would love nothing more than to turn Christmas into a secular holiday. One person said, "You know, it's just a shame that these Christians ruin Christmas with all this religious stuff." You know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is... Well, the truth is, Christmas is divided into two sections, and we all know that. We've always known that. It's divided into the secular part, and it's divided into the spiritual part. It's almost like there are two holidays that have been merged into one. A holiday and a holy day. Well, this holiday, Christmas, has pagan roots to it. Yeah, it does. It began as a Roman holiday, Natalis Solis Invicti, the birth of the invincible sun, and it was celebrated on December the 25th. And it incorporated a number of the symbols that we use today when we celebrate Christmas. It had things like the evergreen tree, it was very prominent. It had ornaments, it had music, it had all the things that we might associate today with Christmas. And this was a pagan holiday that was celebrated from Roman times on. That's true. And so people say, well, all you did was to Christianize it. All you did was to slap Christ in the middle of all that and celebrate the same thing and call it something else. Not true. But, you know, it's not unusual for Christians to take pagan holidays and to convert them, to take something that the world uses and make it into something that praises God. You say, well, now, where do you get that? Well, the first mention of music in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21. And I want to read that to you. Genesis 4, I'll read 20 and 21 just to pick it up. And it's going through the children of Cain. And it says this, "Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe." This is the first mention that we have of music in the Bible. And it was one of the sons of Cain. Cain was a heathen. And the second time that we see the mention of music, it's being used in praise to God, in praise and worship. And so what happened? God commanded that these things be brought to him and surrendered to him. And that's exactly what happened. And so now we use music. Music is a fundamental part of our worship of the Lord. It always has been. So what's our challenge? Our challenge is to bring these things that the enemy uses in a secular way and bring them back under God's control, under God's hand. So, you know, what is it about Christmas now? I mean, when we're listening to these songs, and we know that there are a number of carols, Christmas carols that are being sung, hymns, "Joy to the World," and "Come, Ye Faithful People, Come," all these different songs that are representative of the Christmas season, and that's just, that's great. But there are also a lot of other songs that we sing, and songs that are old favorites, like how about White Christmas, Irving Berlin? How about some of the silly ones that John was calling out last week? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and some of those songs. We enjoy them. Those are great fun. We love them. We love them. Well, you know, this began back after the end of World War II. And when our soldiers were overseas and Christmas time would come and there was a heartache there because they wanted to be home for Christmas and the people, their families, wanted them to be home for Christmas. And that was the basis for the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, a very sentimental, beautiful song. And this began a tradition of singing and writing songs that would touch heartstrings during that period of time, during Christmas. But look what's happened since. I mean, it's just been amazing the number of songs that have come out dealing with Christmas. And not only songs, but movies, videos. You know, if you go on YouTube or you go on a channel, Amazon Channel Prime or one of those, and look at the number of Christmas videos that are on there, almost all of them do not have a Christian basis to them. It's all about an emotional, you know, the Christmas date, or, you know, I was married at Christmas, or all these different things that talk about emotional things. And, you know, that's what's happened since. Some of them are just completely ridiculous. You know, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I mean, that really gives you the spirit of Christmas right there, you know. But that's the secular side. Is there a place for that? Sure. It's fun. It's great. But it can't be confused with the holy side. It's a holiday. And we have fun with the holiday, but we don't confuse it with the holy day. Holy means set apart, set aside for God's purpose. And God did set aside a time for us to remember. Now, I know that there are many people that say, well, you know, history proves that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. No, that's probably right. No, we don't know what day he was actually born. But in essence, does it really matter? If we can prove that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th, does that matter really? Now, next week, I want to talk about that because I'm going to have more time than I do this week. But next week, I want to talk about how these things, the dates of these things, and we find out that probably the day that the wise men came and gave gifts to the baby was December the 25th, which is where the tradition of December 25th comes from. But just because Jesus wasn't born on that day, if we're not going to celebrate December 25th, what day are we going to celebrate? What day would we choose? Well, the purpose in it is to worship our Father, worship our Lord. He was born. He did come into this world, and for that reason, we honor him on that particular day. You know, all religions have their holy days. You know, you have Ramadan, you have, I can't think of it right now, but each religion has its holy day that they hold up as being special. But the only religion that has a day where the emphasis is on giving and not on receiving is Christmas. Christians. And why? What's the motivation for us on Christmas to give gifts? It's because we know that the greatest gift that could ever be given was given to us in the birth of our Savior, in the birth of Jesus, our Lord. When Jesus was first born, 8 days later, he was taken to the temple, and there he was greeted by an individual by the name of Simeon. And Simeon looked at this baby, and in his heart, he knew that this was the one. And this is what it says about Simeon when he met Jesus. It said, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He glorified God and praised God because he saw God's gift to the world. he saw the Savior. And this is what motivates us. This is what motivates us to give gifts, because we've been given the greatest gift that could ever be given. You know, it's painful to see how many people in our society, right here in Asheville, they don't want to have any part at all to do with God, when God has given something so precious, and they just ignore it. So, you know, Christmas, for the believer, is a holy day, and it's a day of celebration. We celebrate the birth of our Lord. And I have to ask you this question: who is it that celebrates your birthday? Does the general public celebrate your birthday? Probably not, unless you're somebody extremely important. Most of our birthdays just go unnoticed. But who is it that notices? Who is it that celebrates? It's the people that love us. It's the people that care about us. It's the people that want to honor us. And who is it that celebrates Christmas as a holy day? It's the people that love Jesus. The people that bow before the Heavenly Father and submit and surrender to Him. That's who it is. Only those who love Jesus. So, you know, Christmas is a time of celebration, and we're called on to remember the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that's the gift of our Savior. We can have a good time. We can put up lights, and we can have a great time celebrating the holiday. But we can never forget to honor the holy day. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful to You. Lord, You saw us here walking in our darkness, and You brought the light that came into this world and enlightens us and all men. Father, I pray and ask that You would touch our hearts today. For those that are walking apart from You, that You would touch their hearts and draw them, even through this Christmas season, as we consider the birth of our Lord and Savior. And we thank You and praise You for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 226. We'll sing the first, 2 verses here, and then the third verse for our benediction response. Please stand and let's sing these first 2 verses, number 226. Good Christian men, rejoice.
Before I give the benediction, let me just remind everyone that we have a reception downstairs and everyone is invited, so please come and join us. Please bow now for the benediction. And now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His glorious presence with great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power through Jesus Christ, our Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen.